It was this morning. I should have told you this morning just to stick your fingers in there and hold on. Amen, Brother Tucker. Amen. I love it. I love it. That's the sound of life. Amen. I love it. God's people get as excited about being here as he is. Amen. We'd have one heck of a service going on here. Luke 21, verse number 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves are roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming up on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Our Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege you've granted unto us to be in your house. We thank you for each one that's come this way tonight. And we pray to God tonight, as we call on your name, that we'd lift our hearts up and we just praise you for who you are and what you've done and what you're going to do. God, you're greater than anything that we have to cling to, the hope to look to in this universe. And Father, we just want to honor you tonight in all that we do. Just be with us in our preaching and help us, God, just to get excited about worshiping you tonight and everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray, we say amen. As we touched this morning, tomorrow, people are going out to look at the sun. Amen. They're buying glasses. They're buying everything in the world that they can so that they can gaze at the sun for a couple of hours and watch this phenomenon that's going to take place that's called an eclipse. It's not something that's never happened before. As a matter of fact, several times in history, it actually records the facts in ancient history of the eclipses taking place. Do you realize that when Jonah went into Nineveh to preach the message that he preached in Nineveh just a few short days before Jonah had went into Nineveh, an eclipse, a total eclipse had just taken place just a few miles from where the city of Nineveh, by the way, the city of Nineveh is what is now the city of Mosul, amen, in Iraq. How many have heard about Mosul? Amen. A lot of fighting going on, a lot of perversion going on there in means of perverting truth and perverting God's will and God's way. People have seen these things and have wondered at them and have feared them and looked to them. But it's just a shadowing of the sun. And you know, we think about the sun and we look at the sun and we realize there are so many things that are so important in our lives about the sun. Did you all know that the sun has another name? It has a soul, Brother Jim. Not S-O-U-L, soul. Amen. But S-O-L, it's from the Roman name for the sun god of the Romans, Sol. That's where we get the term solar system from. It's because everything is thought to revolve around the sun. But I know one that another sun with the S-O-N that has another name as well. Amen. As a matter of fact, he's got a multitude of names that's greater than any name. And let me tell you something. The solar system alone doesn't revolve around him, but the whole universe does. Amen. The Bible tells us he carries the name of the Almighty One, the bread of life, the Christ, the deliverer, the eternal one, faithful, a God, the holy servant, Emmanuel, Jesus, King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Master, the never failing one, our hope, the prophet, the quintessential Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the Savior, the way, the unequaled, no other name that can compare to the name of Jesus. The vine, wonderful. He's extra special. They call him Yahweh. They call him the zealous one. And praise God, there's a multitude of more. That just gives you 26 that meet the alphabet that you can think of to call him. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's Mary's little baby. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And praise God, I can't go on enough to tell you enough things about the S-O-N that you need to grasp and that you need to understand that will help you to get past what's happening in the S-U-N. Amen. I tell you what, they say that sun's gravity holds our solar system together. And as I said, the sun, S-O-N, is the power that holds the universe together. In Colossians 1:7, it says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Do you realize that without God on his throne, the world as we know it, they say everything, the universe has come out of nothing. The gases exploded. Well, where did the gas come from? You know, they can believe in all these things that had to be there and were in place, but they can't believe that there's a God that created them all. Amen. I want you to know something, that whatever scientists try to say and scientists try to do to disprove God, it doesn't change the fact that he is the one that was before all, and by him all things consist. All things exist as we know it. The scientists that have studied the sun tell us the sun is made up of three parts. Amen. It's made up of the core, which is 25% of the total structure, 2% of the total volume, and 50% of the total mass. It has an outer core that extends from an outer section that extends from the core, from the outer edges of the core, to 70% of the volume of the sun. It's 45% of the total structure, 32% of the total volume, and 48% of the total mass. Its corona, the orange glow that we actually see when we look at the sun, is 30% of the total structure, 66% of the total volume, and 2% of the total mass. But our Son, our God, and our Savior, the S-O-N, he's made up of three parts as well. He's Father, he's Son, and he's Holy Spirit. They are all three equal, and they are all three one. Amen. You can't have one without the other, and you can't worship one without worshiping the other one. You can't experience one without experiencing the other. Praise God. I'm glad that we have a God that's always present in any state that he needs to be present in our lives in. Amen. The scientists, and we're well aware of the fact that without sun, life cannot exist. Without the S-U-N, life as we know it cannot exist. Plants depend on the sun to allow them to photosynthesize, to grow, and to bear fruit, and to do the things that they do. Mankind, in total darkness, would eventually cease to exist. Without the sun and the warmth that it gives to our planet, man could not exist. There would, you say, well, we could burn fuel, we could do this. There'll be nothing to burn without the sun. There's nothing there. There's nothing that can exist without him. The Bible tells us that the Son, S-O-N, of God, in John 1:1, was in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Do you realize that life, that the world, that the entire universe as we know it, not just our solar system, but the entire universe cannot exist without the sun, S-O-N. Amen. He's the creator of all things. In the beginning, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. They created all things. In the very beginning, the Bible says God formed man in his own likeness and in his own image from the dust of the earth. He said, but let us make man. Who? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three personalities as one person. Said, let us make man in our own likeness and in our own image. And it was he who breathed into man the breath of life. It's he who gives us our very existence. It's he who gives us our very being. It's he who tells us that we're able to awake another day. He who gives us deliverance through trials and troubles that we face, through tragedies and accidents, through circumstances that we go through in life. It's he who watches us. It's he who guards us. And it's he who has set the time. Amen. When we'll cease to live upon this earth, for it's appointed unto man once to die. But you know what? God has been known to change his timetable in people's lives. You see, without the Son, S-O-N, we have no life. We don't exist. We would cease to exist. It's by his will and his good pleasure that we're able to take the next breath that we take. It's by his will and good pleasure that we're able to grow and to be strengthened in our bodies. It's by his will and good pleasure that we exist from day to day. The Bible tells us something that science tells us exists in the S-U-N. And I touched on that a moment ago as well. Without the S-U-N, son, mankind becomes sickened and weakened. The sun is important to the growth of the human body. When I was a children, I knew that when a child was born and was jaundiced, they would set the child by the window so that they could get the sun. I knew of instances where people got what was called rickets, and they said it was from a lack of the sun, a lack of being exposed to the sun, because exposure to the sunlight, contrary to everything they tell you about the sun, does promote and doesn't produce a vitamin D within your own body. There's a great debate going on right now in the scientific community because of what scientists are beginning to learn about the effects of the sunblock and the sun shades that people are wearing, because they're so worried about the melanoma that they're losing what they have been able to gain from exposure to the sun and its reproduction of vitamins that are needed within the body. Studies have concluded that pregnant women who spend time every day in the sun during their pregnancies have babies that have stronger bone mass and greater strength than children that are born of women who have kept themselves out of the sun. These are scientific studies that have proved this. It's a proven fact that children who are born in the summertime and in the fall time have a greater and stronger bone mass than children who are born in the winter and early springtime. Why is that? Because of the exposure they have to the sun. The sun promotes and increases bone growth and bone strength and bone mass and all the things that are important. But do you know that exposure to the S-O-N, amen, it will strengthen the child of God, amen. It will strengthen the baby in Christ. It will make a difference in the anemic Christian if he will expose himself to Christ, the Son of God, and get closer to him. Do you realize the closer that we get to the Son of God, the stronger we become in our spiritual walk. The closer that we get, the more time we spend with the Son. Amen. The stronger we are as Christians, the more bold we become in our faith. The stronger our faith gets, the stronger our assurance is, the stronger our walk is. And praise God, the more exposure we get. Amen. The stronger we grow. I just thought these things were neat. Amen. Do you realize that darkness cannot exist where the sun can penetrate? Anybody ever went to any of the caverns, Luray Caverns, or anything like that? You go into these caverns and you get so far, I don't know in Luray, the ones I've been in, that they turn the light out. And I tell you, we go to one in West Virginia, it's hillbillies. We got our own little thing down there, Smoke Hole Caverns near Petersburg, West Virginia. Amen. And they take you back in this cavern, and you get back, and there's lights all the way. And they go back, and they tell everybody, they say, now stand still and do not move. And they turn the light out. And they said, you have reached the point of TD, total darkness. You have reached a point right here where it's impossible for light to penetrate. Amen? And there's total darkness. But do you know something? There's no place. There is no place. There is no heart. There is no life. There is not an individual that the S-O-N cannot penetrate. Amen. Amen. The psalmist says, I was in a horrible pit in the miry clay. And he brought me up and he set my feet on the rock. He said, if I make my bed, if I ascend into the heaven and make my bed in the heaven, he's there. He said, if I ascend into the depths of hell, he said, even he's there. You know what? Even the devils, even the demons of Satan himself have been penetrated by the light. Amen. They realize and they know that he is God, even though they won't claim him and recognize him as God. Amen. Satan himself, the prince of darkness, knows that Jesus is light. And in him is life. Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of. We don't have to walk in darkness. I don't care if the sun stops shining. And I know that if the sun stops shining, it's of a certainty that this world as we know it will cease to exist. If it is the will of God for it to do so. But I know of a certainty that I'm not worried about following that light. I'm worried about following the light. Amen. And as long as I follow the light, it doesn't matter what happens to this light. Amen? Because that light, the light, Jesus, the S-O-N, is the light of life. The Bible says over in John chapter 1 that he was the light of life. But men love darkness rather than life. They'd rather walk in darkness than walk in the light. They'd rather walk in darkness than follow Jesus. But praise God, we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to live in spiritual blindness. We can follow the light. I thought I was just thinking about before I got up. The sun, S-U-N, that we see in the sky that everybody's going to be peeping at tomorrow, is considered a yellow dwarf. There are three classifications of stars. There's a white giant. There's a yellow dwarf. And there's a red dwarf. They say that one day the sun will consume itself and will ultimately, well, consume all of its hydrogen and will ultimately begin to consume the planets. It will ultimately consume the planet Earth. And for a time, it will continue to shine as a yellow dwarf. But the time will come when all that it can suck into it and all that it can consume will no longer exist. And then it will become the smallest of stars, the least of all stars, the most minuscule of all stars, the least significant of all stars, which is called a red dwarf. But praise God, the S-O-N. You know where this is getting ready to go, don't you? The S-O-N, he's greater than the greatest. He's higher than the highest. He's mightier than the mightiest. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not because of who he is and because of what he said. Amen. He never fails. He never will diminish in his power. He will never be less than what he is today. He will only become greater in the sights and in the minds of those who have the opportunity to stand in his presence. He's more than we could hope for. He's more than we deserve. He's more than anybody could ever have told you that he's worth. He's greater than anything that you could ever possess. He's a pearl worth possessing, worth giving everything up for. Amen. No matter what happens to the white dwarfs, the red dwarfs, the yellow dwarfs, he changes not. Amen. And I'll get to spend an eternity with him in glory. You know, as long as the S-U-N exists, it can never do anything to set you free. It's just there because it's an instrument of God. You know, I sang that song, not One Blessed Man, but what's the other one? If he can take some rugged wood. What is it, Jimmy? Three old rusty nails. If he can use the fallen walls inside a pagan Roman jail, a man like me, if he can use a storm-tossed fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee, then he can use a simple searching, wounded, hurting, broken man like me. See, there's a line in that song that says it's not the tools that he uses, but it's the power of his touch. The S-U-N only exists because God has placed it. God has named it. God has purposed it for the purpose that it exists for. And it can do no more than what God has allowed it to do. But the Bible tells us that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, even though we were undeserving, God sent forth his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God sent his Son, S-O-N, that he might set us free from the curse of sin. That he might deliver us. He might redeem us. He might restore us into a right fellowship with God. The S-U-N can never do anything to make you free. But the S-O-N said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. Tonight, and again tomorrow, when everybody's clamoring about and talking about the eclipse and the sun, think about the S-O-N. Think about how much more important he is. Think about how much greater he is than the greatest power that we know in our sight that we can see. In our frail human ability, there's a sun, S-O-N, that shines and stands much greater than the sun, the S-U-N. He's a savior. He's a helper. He's a guide. He's a strength. He loves you. He cares for you. And tonight, you need to realize he gave his life for you that he might set you free. He suffered, bled, and died on an old rugged cross that he might help you to find victory over the curse of sin. We're going to partake of a communion of the Lord's table, the bread and the cup that symbolize the body and the blood of Jesus. Do you realize how much more that is and how much more important and how much that eclipses what everybody else is worrying about? They're worrying about an eclipse of the sun. Praise God, he eclipses sin. He gave his life for you and me. But the Bible tells us that only those who have trusted him as their Savior are to partake of it. Only those who are assured within their hearts that their hearts are right with God. And that's real easy. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to forgive us of all unrighteousness. I tell my Sunday school class all the time, and I've told you all, 99.9% of my sin never leaves my mind or my heart. And I have to deal with it. No one else knows about it. No one else is aware of it but me and the Lord. And I have a responsibility to deal with it before him. Tonight as we stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed,